everyone, and welcome to the Live Through Jesus podcast with Courtney Gilmore. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is the second part of 1 Samuel 16. Spirits are difficult to understand. Because we can't see them, they're not anything that is tangible, it is tempting to say, you know, that isn't a real thing or that it's something kooky or weird when we talk about spirits. But all of us have an invisible part of ourselves, right? We can't see that part of ourselves, but we know it's there. It's the part that has feelings and emotions. And so we can understand that there is something within our own selves that we can't see, but we know that it exists. And that is how the Spirit of God is. It is the invisible part of God. It is not an it, it is a he. He is part of God, and so he exists as a person. And so as we talk about this lesson that's kind of difficult, I wanted to separate chapter 16 so that we could spend just a little bit of time, at least not be thinking about something else and just focus solely on the Holy Spirit and what the presence of the Holy Spirit does. But while we're listening, it might just help you to think of this Holy Spirit as God, because this is God. This is the invisible part of God. And how God comes to dwell or be with a person, okay? And so that's what we're really talking about. And in the first part of chapter 16, God had come to Samuel and he said, hey, I told you I've rejected Saul as king. He's no longer going to be the king. And I also told you that I've already selected another person that I want to succeed him. And so why are you just sitting around not, you know, searching out this person, not doing what needs to be done in order to prepare this person for the kingship? And Samuel's like, okay, what do you want me to do? And he said, here is the man that I've chosen. It is one of Jesse's sons. And so I want you to go down to Jesse's house and then I'll show you the one that I've selected. And then I want you to anoint him as the new king. And so that's what happened last week. But at the end of the part where he anoints David as king, this is what happens. This is verse 13. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and he went to Ramah, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And so this kind of gives us the picture of the Spirit can only be with one of them. And so since God hasn't chosen Saul anymore, then the Spirit leaves him and goes to be with David. But it's not because the Spirit can only dwell in one person at a time. We know now that the Holy Spirit dwells in every single person that accepts Jesus. And so we know that that's not the case. And God's Spirit can be everywhere at all times. And so God's Spirit could have been in both of them, but the reason that it left Saul and went to David is because God was leaving Saul and going to David, because God's Spirit was going to empower whoever it was that God wanted to be the king and disempower whoever he did not want to be the king. And so he takes his power away from Saul and he gives it to David, because David is going to be the one who will be the new king. And so again, just think about God's presence bringing power with him, because he's God. There's always going to be power in the presence of God. And God is no longer staying with Saul because he's rejected him. And now he is going to be with David. Another thing that we need to realize is that with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, they did not have salvation. The Holy Spirit did not bring with it salvation. It only brought power for whatever purpose God had for this person. And so if you remember when we talked about Samson, God, it would say that the Holy Spirit would overcome him or come upon him whenever God needed him to do something strong, right? And so it made him super powerful. And that was God's Spirit. And so God brings some sort of power to everyone that he comes to be with, because he is too powerful for it to be contained in just his being. And so they did not have salvation with the presence of God at that time. That came only after Jesus died. And so when Samuel anointed David, he was outwardly revealing what God's who God's choice was to be the next king. But when the Holy Spirit came, it confirmed him as king. It solidified it. If, you know, Samuel had decided this on his own, he could anoint him. But when God's presence came upon David, it's like, okay, now there's no doubt, because God isn't going to be with him if that wasn't his will. And so that is how the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. But after Jesus ascended, then he said he would send his Holy Spirit. He told the people, hey, I'm going to leave you, but it's better for you that I leave you, because you can only be with me when you're with me. But God is going to send the Holy Spirit to be with every single person everywhere that they are. And that is going to be way better for you than just having to follow me around all the time. And so God sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in every person who believed and entrusted their life to Jesus, who allowed Jesus to take their sins and, you know, wipe them away from God's presence, from God's visibility. We are covered in Jesus's blood, and God, when he looks at us, he sees Jesus's blood and he sees the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us always, just like it came to dwell with David. It didn't always dwell with all of the people in the Old Testament forever. Some of the people in the Old Testament, it would just come to whenever he wanted to give power to someone. But with David, it was from the moment he anointed him until he died. And the moment that we accept Jesus as our Savior and say, God, I want my life to be in your hands, then at that moment, we receive the Holy Spirit. And this is a seal for us. And so it says, this person is a child of God, and this person is going to be yours forever. We can't ever be separated from God. We have his seal on us, and that is the Holy Spirit. And it confirms that we are his, that we're his children. And so I'm going to read you a couple of verses that talk about this. The first one is in Romans 8:11, and it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So God's Spirit comes to dwell in us, and it had the power to raise Jesus from the dead, so it brings with it power for us too, that we will live forever, is what it's saying. It gives life to our mortal bodies. And so we are no longer just a mortal body, we're an eternal body. And if you skip down to verse 14 in chapter 8 of Romans, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And so did you hear that part where it says that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit? That's what I was talking about, is we already have a spirit within us. And whenever we accept Jesus, then He sends His Spirit to come and dwell in us, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are now a child of God, heirs of all that Jesus inherits in eternity with God. And then Galatians 4:4-7 says, "But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then heirs of God through Christ." Again, not only did He send us, you know, like I say, the Holy Spirit, He sent us the same Spirit that was in His Son. His Spirit, the Spirit of God, lives in us. And this says, hey, I have the same exact Spirit as Jesus, and He was your Son, and so I'm your daughter or son. Also, Ephesians 1:13-14 says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory." And so we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to His disciples, we are sealed with that, and that guarantees that we have an inheritance in heaven. We are stamped with the Holy Spirit, and that says we get to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And Titus 3:4-7 says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So He pours out His Spirit on us, that we may become heirs of the hope of eternal life. And so this is what happens now for us. We are sealed. We are confirmed, just like David. But at that time, all David was confirmed as is the king. He was enabled to do the things that the king needed to do with the power of God in his presence now. And he was sealed as God's and as the king. And that's what we get, is a sealing that says we are God's, and power also to do the things that God calls us to do. But we also now get salvation. And so let's keep on reading after it tells us in verse 14 that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. It says that a distressing spirit from the Lord came and troubled him. Saul's servants said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you." And so because the Holy Spirit was no longer there with him, then he received this troubling spirit at times that would bother him. And sometimes God causes us to feel things for specific purposes, and we don't always know what those purposes are. Sometimes we feel sorry for things that we've done. Sometimes we feel shame. Sometimes we feel, you know, compelled to do something. These are all feelings from God, spirits that God gives us that, you know, are for whatever purpose. And he causes Saul to have this distressing spirit to bring him and David together. And we'll see that as we continue to read. And so his servants' answer was, they went to Saul and they said, "We see that God has given you this distressing spirit and that you're troubled." And they said, "Why don't you let us go before you and seek out a man who is a skillful player of the harp?" And it shall be that when he plays it with his hand, when the distressing spirit comes upon you, that you will be well. And Saul said, yes, that sounds like a good idea. Provide a man to come and play with me. And so we know that music is very powerful in this way. Music can make us feel all kinds of things. And his servants knew this also. And we can have our spirits uplifted with music. This is something that we've all experienced. Again, it's something invisible that happens inside of us, and we can't explain why music does this to us, but it's something that happens. And so we can, again, understand all of these spiritual things that are happening to Saul and to David, even though, you know, we can't get our fingers on them because they've happened to us too. And so the servant said, let us go find you a man that can play the harp. And when you listen to his music, maybe you will feel better. And Saul says, yes, do that. And so then one of the servants answers him in verse 18 and says, look, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and he's a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. So this is the same person that Samuel has anointed to be the next king, although Saul has no idea about this. But God is using this distressing spirit to bring David to Saul because he wants them to become friends. He wants to bring David into the kingdom in a way that would make him familiar with all the things that happen with the king and that would make Saul familiar with him. And now we get a little bit of a description of David. All we know before is that Samuel was immediately attracted to him. But now we see that he plays the harp really well. We also see that he is a brave man who presents himself well, and he is wise. And then that most importantly, God is with him. And so this would be a great king, right? Someone that's brave, someone who presents himself as strong and courageous, someone who can speak well, who is very wise. These would be good qualities of a king. And then the most important thing is that God is with him. And the people are telling Saul this, and Saul says, yes, this is the person that I want. And so he sent messengers to Jesse and says, send me your son David. And so Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat. And then he sent him by his son David to Saul. And so David came to Saul, and he stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he eventually became his armor bearer. We know that this doesn't happen initially, but he becomes his armor bearer later because every time, we'll keep reading, it says, then Saul sent to Jesse saying, please let David stand before me. He's found favor in my sight. So it was that whenever the Spirit of God who was upon Saul, that David would take the harp and he would play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. And so because David was able to dispel this troubling spirit from Saul when he would play, then this made Saul love him. And so eventually, Saul calls him to be his armor bearer. But we know that he didn't stay in his presence forever because not long after this lesson, we're going to see that David leaves his father's house. And so we know that what he's actually saying here to Jesse is, I want him to be in my service. And so when I call for him, I want you to give him to me. Because sometimes I need to just listen to his music and it soothes me. And so Jesse said that was fine. And so he would go back and forth between tending his father's sheep and being in the service of the king until eventually Saul calls him to be in his service all of the time. So that's what we are seeing here. And no doubt the music was able to help Saul. Again, we know that this is something that we've all experienced. But I think there was a little bit more to it. I think that David also brought with him the presence of the Holy Spirit. And remember, Saul had had that before. At one point, he had had the Holy Spirit with him, and now he doesn't. And that in itself would be distressing. And so when David would come, he would bring the Holy Spirit with him, and this would be a very familiar feeling to Saul. And it would be something that he is missing out on, that he needs. And when we let the Holy Spirit work through us, it's evident to the rest of the world. Other people can see God in us because they can see our regular spirit in us. They can tell what type of person we are. And so if God's Spirit is in us, then they can see that. And others might be drawn to us because we're good musicians or because we're wise or all of those things. But also, if we have the Spirit of God within us, then we bring something that they are missing out on. And they sense that. They can realize, hey, they have something that I can't put my finger on. Something that I need. And so anybody could have been a good musician, right? In there, you know that there were other people that knew how to play the harp. And so that wasn't what made David so unique, so special to Saul. He brought with him something else. And we can do the same thing. We can bring with us God's Spirit to where people who don't know God may not know why they are attracted to us, why they like to be around us, but they know that we have something that they don't have. Everyone longs for God, whether they know it or not. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that he has put eternity in our hearts. And so we all long for something that is eternal. We just instinctively want that. Even if we don't logically believe in God, we want that eternal thing that he offers. And then Psalm 107:9 says that he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. We can't see a longing soul. We can't see a hungry soul. But that is what the Spirit fills. The Holy Spirit gives to our soul something that we're longing for that we're totally unaware of. We don't even know that we need him, but we do. And when we see it in someone else, we're like, that's what I've been missing. They have something that I don't have, and I want that. And at first, they may not know what it is, but if you are, really revealing God to them, then eventually they'll understand, oh, they have God. That's what I've been missing out on. And I think that that's what Saul was seeing also. And so, like David, we're all born with specific talents and abilities, right? He was a wise person. He was a brave person. He was good at playing the harp. These were probably all talents that God had given him, abilities to see and do things that others may not have. And we all have those, but the thing that made David unique was God's presence. Well, it's the same thing for us. Whatever it is that God has given you as an innate talent, then he can use for his glory, for a specific place and a specific time in a specific way that, you know, is unique to you. And so, if we will let God use our unique abilities for his purpose, then we're going to be more beneficial than the people who just happen to have those inborn characteristics and don't have God with them. But also, when we have the Holy Spirit, we also receive spiritual gifts in addition to our innate characteristics. And that gives us power to do things that we would have never been able to do in our own, just abilities, that our own personality or, innate nature has with it. And so you might hear people say, you know, oh, I used to never be a good speaker, or I used to be very timid and now I'm brave. I used to, you know, not understand any of this, and now God is using me to speak these wisdoms that I don't even know where they come from, because they make no sense to me in my own head. But then I've done that before. It's like, somebody asked me a question and I didn't know the answer to it 5 seconds before they asked me. And then all of a sudden these words come out and I'm like, wow, that was pretty good. And then I realized there's no way I came up with that on my own, right? God is doing that. And so I don't have that gift necessarily all the time, but God's power came over me and gave me the ability to speak the exact words that needed to be spoken at that time. And so sometimes God's Holy Spirit works like that, where it just happens from now time to time. Sometimes His Spirit works where it uses what you already have. And sometimes God's Spirit works where it gives you this entirely different ability that you've never ever had before, and it stays with you. You are all of a sudden this eloquent speaker, or all of a sudden this brave person that can go and combat lies, or all of a sudden this person who just understands all of these things and you can explain them to people, whatever the case may be. And so I'm going to end by reading you a couple of passages that talk about the different things that God's Spirit can do within us, the things that God's Spirit enables us to do. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7, it says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." That's what I told you all ago, is that we can be of benefit to everyone when we let God's Spirit use us. And so in verse 8, it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." And so the Holy Spirit gives to each person however He wants to. He gives the measure that He chooses and the gift that He chooses. And so let's look at these a little more in depth. One of them is the gift of wisdom. It says that David has that. Another is the gift of knowledge. You can comprehend and hold a million things in your brain. You can memorize things. You can recite things. You know, all of that. That would be the gift of knowledge. The gift of faith. Just an ability to trust that, you know, has no skepticism in it, that is just this blind ability to say, "God, whatever you say, I don't, none of this makes any sense to me, but I trust you." Some people are very gifted in that area. The gifts of healing. Some people just, you know, want to make people better. And God gives them that ability. God gives them the ability to heal people. The working of miracles, doing things that no one else can do. The gift of prophecy, being able to, explain these things, tell other people things that, you know, God has shown you, that God has told you to say. Some people have the gift of discernment. They can just understand instinctively what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. They're very black and white. Everything just makes sense to them. They can look at that and they can say, that's not good. I can tell. And it's like, well, it's presenting itself as good. And it's like, no, I know, because that is something that God has enabled me to understand. And I can see that's not good. The gift of tongues, and then the gift of interpreting tongues. And then down in verse 27, it says, Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. So these are the people that have gifts within the church. Those other things you notice, those don't necessarily have to be gifts that you use within the church. They may just be gifts that you have. You just are able to discern good from bad, right from wrong, true from false, right? You are able to, you know, comprehend things. You have knowledge, you have faith. But these are the things that God uses within the church. So this would be apostles, people who are, you know, going out and planting churches and teaching people, but they don't stay within one spot. It's like, you know, they're just kind of, you know, getting things started in all these different places and overseeing it and then heading to a different spot. Prophets, the ones that relay God's message to other people. This would be, you know, more like a pastor. Teachers are the ones that have the knowledge and the understanding and that can convey that to others. Just teaching what the Bible says, not necessarily, you know, a word from God, but a word that is already written in the Word of God. After that, miracles, gifts of healing. We've already talked about those things. And then helps, someone that is just a helper. That is good and needed in the church. Someone that has no agenda of their own. The very next one is administrators. Administrators do. They know exactly what they want done. So they tell the helpers and then the helpers do this. And we know that we need both of these things. And then again, varieties of tongues. And it says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak the in tongues? Do all interpret? No. If everyone did these things, then we wouldn't need the other people. And so God gives each one a specific gift so that the whole church can work together. This is what God wants from us as his body. The reason that the church is called his body is because it's the same as a person's body who has hands and feet and eyes and ears. And so we use all of those body parts to work together for the benefit of the entire body, just as the hands and feet work together, the eyes and the ears work together. And so God uses all of these different people and all of these different gifts within the church to carry out his plans. And then in Romans 12, 4-8, it tells us some of the same ones and some different ones. And it says, as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And individually, members of one another. So that's what I just explained to you. And then in verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, let us use them. If it is prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If it is ministry, then let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in our exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we got the same ones that we had before, prophecy and teaching and ministering, which would be kind of like an administrator or a helper, either one of those things. But we get a couple of new ones. Someone that is an encourager. You know, you might be thinking, well, I'm not a teacher. I'm not somebody that can get up there and preach. I definitely can't speak in tongues. I have no ability to heal others. What is my gift? And it's like, you're an encourager. You're the person that helps others be able to do the things that God's enabled them to do. That is a gift that's needed in the church because we get discouraged sometimes using our gifts. And then a person who gives. Maybe you are just generous, you know, that God, or maybe God has gifted you with a lot and because you have a lot on this earth, he's also given you the gift to want to give it away. You like to share. Maybe you are a leader. God has gifted you with that. And so you use that diligently. Maybe you're merciful. You know, we need those people. Whenever you have the prophesier over there saying, you know, you better act right, you better act right, then you need to have the encourager to say, you can act right, you can do it. And then you need to have the person that's merciful that says, hey, it's all right, it's okay. Everybody messes up. And then you have the encourager over there saying, yeah, everybody messes up. It's okay. Put it behind you. You can do it. And so we have all of these different people working together for the good of the entire body. And so all of these different things are gifts. And so if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, I don't have that gift. Well, I don't have that gift. You have something. Something God has given you. Specifically, either inborn or anew, now that you are a Christian, that he says, this is what I want you to do for me. And, you know, maybe you were doing that before, but now you're using it for me and it's going to be enhanced. Or maybe you never knew that you were capable of doing this, but you saw a need and you began to fulfill it. And it's because I empowered you to do that. And so no matter what it is, God can use each and every one of us. When his spirit comes on us, it is just like it was in the Old Testament. It brings with it power. We always have power when God is with us because he has power. And his power is overwhelming. It can't be contained in just him. And so think today, what are my gifts? What did God enable me to do? And what am I supposed to be doing for his kingdom? Am I using those gifts just out in the regular world and not using them for God's glory? Do I even recognize what my gifts are? These are things that we each need to think about because God has given each of us power through his Holy Spirit to do the things that he wants for us to do. And so now we just need to let him work through us to fulfill his purposes, whatever that may be. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." We were created to do good things, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what are those things? What has God enabled you to do? When, you know, if we're his workmanship, then we're his creation. He's created us for a purpose. He's fashioned us specially to do something in his kingdom, in your town, in your community, in your church, in your job, wherever it is, God has enabled you to do something for his kingdom. What is that thing? Let God work through you so that you can show the world what they've been missing. You want for other people, when they look at you, to say, you know, I've known a million people that are good at that thing that she's good at. But there's something about her. I want her to be the one that does that. And it's because they see God in you. They see his Spirit that lives within you, that you are feeding that Spirit every day. We talked about this in another podcast, feeding his Spirit every day with his word, with, you know, prayer, with fellowship, all of those things until it is just so overpowering that it just comes out of us. Other people see it in us. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And so that is what we need to let God's Spirit not only, come over us and seal us for eternity, saving us from our own selves and our own sin, but we need to let it empower us to do the things that God wants us to do. Let it grow us to be looking more and more like Him every single day, so that, you know, His Spirit will just come out of us and other people will see Him when they look at us. If they look at us and they see us, then they're not going to be very impressed, and that, you know, they're not going to see good things sometimes. But if they look at us and they see God, then they're going to be drawn to Him and they're going to accept Him too. And so that's what we need to do today. Knowing that He has given us His Spirit, we need to let it work within us. So I hope that, you know, that gives you a little bit of an idea what God is doing in us and what He was doing in His people in the Old Testament. And so that's all I have for you today. On the next podcast, we're just going to continue going on with David. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that episode. Also, if you would like to read this lesson, have all of these scriptures and the things for you to look at yourself, then go to livethroughjesus.substack.com and you can subscribe. This is the only paid thing that I have, is the lessons. They're written on Substack, but you can go there and subscribe $6 a month or $60 a year, and then you can get each of these emailed to you and get in a little deeper dive for yourself, or you can use them to go through the study of David with a small group or your Sunday school class or whatever you want to do. And this is a cheap way to do that with other people, because you can just get one subscription and then print all of the materials out. And then don't forget that I also have another podcast channel and YouTube channel that I do just devotions on. And so make sure you subscribe to that one. That is Live Through Jesus Weekly Devotions. And you can get those for free. And then also, if you become a free user on Substack, then you can get all of those emailed to you as a blog post. So you don't have to pay on Substack. You can also get free material there. So go to Substack and join in one way or the other so that you can keep up with, you know, either the blog posts or the lessons. And then also join me on social media at Live Through Jesus. So that's all I have for you this week. Thanks, and have a good day.